We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up on 920 here at WWL, it is going to be a sparkling day with highs of 67 and plenty of sunshine. It's going to be a pretty nice week all the way until Friday, when a little chance for showers creeps in advance of a cold front, high Saturday 67, and Sunday sunny and highs of 63. So you got to get out and enjoy this. Washington Post reporting that President Trump said he will strongly consider testifying in writing as part of the impeachment inquiry at the outset of a week in which eight current and former officials are scheduled to publicly testify about his controversial actions regarding Ukraine. I do not run in those circles. I am not an attorney, but I will say this. Nothing can help the president. He will not help himself by testifying in any way. Jeff Engel joins us, director of the Center for Presidential History at SMU. Good morning, Jeff.
Hi, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Is there anything the president can gain by responding to that?
Oh no, there's nothing. At least an in-person testifying would be the single greatest legal mistake in history.
But even this, offering to do this, not going to help anything.
You know, it probably is not going to help, but at the very least, it gives the appearance of helping.
Yeah,
and I think we are definitely in such a partisan fight already, which is really a shame, by the way, because the purpose of the stage that we are in an impeachment investigation, all sides should be enthusiastic about, because it's about finding out the information. It's not about reaching a conclusion yet. But both sides have reached their conclusion already. And so I think President Trump could offer some written words, or at least his lawyers could. But I don't think that they would necessarily make much of an impact, except for him to say, look, I answered your questions.
So when it comes to this week with the hearings, you might want to, if you can, give everybody a little bit of background on this, because so far, I think anybody that has testified has either heard it on a phone or been told by somebody about the now infamous phone call with the president of Ukraine.
You know, no, actually.
Okay. I think, no, if I'm wrong, tell me, please.
No, it's not that you're wrong. It's that this is something that the White House has been trying to say assiduously, that there is no firsthand information of someone who actually spoke directly with President Trump, although Ambassador Sondland, who's going to go this week, did, and is trying to make the case, therefore, that there cannot be any sort of logic to impeachment. And that, frankly, that's just silly. Any corporation, the person who is in charge of the corporation gives their underlings orders, and what their underlings do is what really matters. We assume that the president is in charge. The president said that he wanted these things held up, this military aid held up, and also he wanted to use it as a way to get the Ukrainian government to investigate the Bidens on the telephone call that he released. So there is not a single lawyer in the country that would say, I can't use the evidence I've gotten just because it was not firsthand. What they care about is the quality of the evidence.
All right. So Ambassador Sondland, who, by the way, was the European Union ambassador, right?
Yes.
So he would have been involved with this, or was he kind of dabbling into the sea of diplomacy?
Well, I think dabbling is really a key word. One of the things that I take away from this is that this entire thing that we're discussing is remarkably unusual for oh so many ways, not least because it's really done in an out-of-system way. It's really done in an out-of-the-bureaucracy way. So Ambassador Sondland, along with Rudy Giuliani, we are being told, and perhaps the Attorney General as well, though he has subsequently denied it, essentially we're working outside of normal channels. So Ambassador Sondland was working behind the scenes in Ukraine at the president's behest, even as regular diplomacy was going on with Ukraine. And that's really important, because if normally a president was concerned about a legal matter in another country, there's 16 different levels of bureaucracy that he would go through in order to find out the information. The fact that the president took this upon himself with his personal personal associates, tells us that, you know, he was not proud of what he was doing, or he did not trust the system. Either of those are not good conclusions for America.
So when it comes to Sondland, he testified, right, in private, then some other people said some things, and then he amended his testimony. A quick look back at that, a quick refresher, Jeff, if we can.
Yes, that's exactly right. He testified behind closed doors, and of course, I have to stress, these things are always behind closed doors. They were certainly behind closed doors for Benghazi, for Clinton, for Watergate, because the investigators just get better information when there aren't cameras around and congressmen grandstanding. So he testified behind closed doors that there was no, for lack of a better phrase, quid pro quo. And then after other people said, yes, there was, he went back and amended his testimony to say, oh, that's right, there was.
Was that to avoid perjury?
Yes, exactly. Okay. I mean, he realized, oh, my goodness, I'm about to go to jail. Mm-hmm. So this tells us that, you know, perhaps people are starting to become aware of the consequences of lying to Congress.
Somebody texted here, and I'm just getting this out of the way real quick, because we like to get the listeners' questions in. What federal law has been broken with these impeachment inquiries? He's not sure that there's any federal law that's been broken. It doesn't have to be a federal law that's broken, correct?
No, this is a great question because of that exact point. There is no law that needs to be broken for one to commit a high crime. A high crime is an attack, an assault against the people, against the state. It's when the sovereign puts himself above the needs of the people. It doesn't need to be a crime at all to be a high crime, not least because, you know, it's possible to have a very creative president who is able to come up with some way to harm the state that there was no law for. By the same token, a president can commit a crime that's not a high crime. My favorite example is jaywalking. You know, we can all envision a president being convicted of jaywalking, and I don't think any reasonable person would think that would preclude them from holding office. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a crime, before you think the president needs to be investigated further or impeached, you're genuinely, honestly, constitutionally looking in the wrong place. Now, if there was a crime broken, that would make life easier for everybody to understand on both sides of the aisle. But there doesn't need to be a crime for this to go forward.
So in terms of Sondland, let me get back to him. Does this not go back, Jeff, and I might be confusing a lot of this stuff, where he was in a restaurant having a conversation with the president, somebody that's already testified said the president was speaking so loudly that he could hear what the president was saying. Does it go back to the phone conversation that Sondland was having on the president to prove that the president was orchestrating all of this stuff? What role will Sondland play in all of this?
You know, I think that is sort of all these discussions about phone calls, about conversations, are icing on the cake. What needs to be examined is the fact that Congress appropriated money to be used for foreign aid to another country. It appears the president, at least perhaps through Mick Mulvaney when he was still at OMB, that the president, or still simultaneously there, of course, it appears the president put a hold on that, which he does not have the legal right to do. That is not his money to appropriate. It's the American people's money to appropriate. So the fact that it was held up and then subsequently released after people discovered in the press what he was doing, that really gives you a good sense that the president was doing something that someone reminded him was out of bounds. Someone reminded him was not normal and should not be done. And again, I can't stress this enough. This is something that shouldn't be looked at in terms of the talking. We need to look at the actions, and the actions are really quite disturbing.
I'm getting texts here about, and it always comes up, and I heard Steve Scalise say this on Fox News Sunday yesterday, about Burisma and the Bidens. Huh. And I think what people don't realize is that you can look into that if you want, But that has nothing to do with this. Joe Biden, Hunter right. Biden has nothing to do with this. And I think sometimes GOP leaders intentionally try to conflate this to confuse people that are watching this.
I think that is 100% right. You know, from my perspective, if Vice President Biden, if Hillary Clinton, if Richard Nixon, if George Washington, if somebody was involved in some sort of illicit activity, let's investigate and prosecute to the fullest extent of the law. Only one person is currently the president. The current president is what we need to be concerned about in terms of his actions. So, Joe Biden could have committed 4,000 felonies. The fact that President Trump violated what congressional will in holding up the foreign aid, that is the only thing that should concern people when we're talking about whether or not impeachment is the right remedy.
Because that, look, if Joe Biden broke the law, go back, have a right. an investigation into that. If you can prove it, well, then, send him to jail, do whatever you can do with the vice president. But it's not, one has nothing to do with the other. One other thing that I hear a lot of people say, Jeff, and I learned this in political science in college, is that traditionally people are thinking here that somehow the president automatically comes in and starts dictating foreign policy. But there is an entrenched establishment here that a lot of presidents have struggled with and will continue to, because you have people that have spent their lives in intelligence, that have spent their lives in diplomacy, that have spent their entire careers in any other aspect of government. And this president's, any president's going to be there for 4 or 8 years. And to think that any president can come in and change all of that, that's not realistic, is it?
No, it really isn't. But that can be cast as a bad thing. I actually think it's a very good thing, because those people who are spending their lives working on a problem and studying a problem have a whole lot of expertise, and the American policy really shouldn't shift so dramatically on most things. We need to have consistency in the world. In fact, I'm going to put in an inadvertent plug here. You didn't know this was coming. I didn't know this was coming until you asked this question. Our center has a book out on this very topic that explores the way George W. Bush decided to surge troops in Iraq in 2006. And the whole point of the book is that he decided 6 months before he was able to announce, because he had to spend the next 6 months convincing the Pentagon and convincing the commanders in the field that this was a good strategy, because the president can order something, but orders are followed much, much better if people also agree with you.
And normally that goes the other way, right? Because it's the Joint Chiefs of Staff, it's the military advisors, NSA, that has the context of this. And I guess one thing I would find to be incredibly difficult if I were the president is to understand everything that's going on in the world, because it has to be viewed through context. It has to be viewed through a store of knowledge. And for example, I grew up here, Jeff, right? So I can talk about the history of New Orleans for all the time I've been here. If I go to Seattle, I'm not going to know any of that, because I don't have that store of knowledge. And I would think presidents, whether you're Republican or Democrat, struggle with that. Because at some point, not having had that store of knowledge, you're going to have to depend on the people within the government to tell you and then make a decision from it.
That's exactly right. In fact, that's the whole reason why George Washington created a cabinet, was because he knew that there was not any way that he could be an expert in everything. So get the best advice from experts. And that is what presidents historically have always done in the areas where they are not expert. And to be honest, Ukrainian foreign policy is not something that most people were expert on who were running for president in 2016, Democrat or Republican. Just the nuances of this are really the work of professional diplomats, not necessarily of presidents. Presidents set the general direction, but we still need to have people who are implementing the direction the president suggests.
And if it can be done that way. Tell me the name of the book.
The book is The Last Card, Inside George W. Bush's Decision to Surge in Iraq. It's a really novel idea. It's an oral history of that event, from the president all the way on down to people in the field. We went and got their interviews and got their recollections and sort of wove it all together to say how this really complex decision was made. And as I say, it took many, many months after the president made the decision for him to be able to announce the decision.
The Last Card, right?
the last card.
All right, I'm going to have to pick it up and read it. Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Great. Thank you.
Jeff Engel, Director of the Center for Presidential History at SMU, 934. Coming back, talking to Steve Court about the Saints game yesterday and the Carolina game coming up. Hang out. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.